Luke chapter 5. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding round him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by the fishermen, who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signalled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." They said to him, "John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking." Jesus answered, "Can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days they will fast." He told them this parable. "No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for he says, 'The old is better.'"
Jesus, through his ministry, went to where people were in need. He sought out those on the margins of society and became a part of their lives, healing the sick, befriending the not quite rights and the outcasts. This speaks to me of how Jesus comes to meet us where we are, whether it be a happy or a sad place, whether we are his followers or if we know nothing about him at all, whether we have met him many times before or this is the first time. In the same way, Jesus comes to his workers where they are and on familiar ground. In our passage, Jesus comes to fishermen and so speaks of fishing and fish. He comes to each of us and speaks of the ways in which we too can be disciples, whether that be through our profession or the skills and talents we express in our leisure time, whether that be with our voices, our minds, or our practical hands. He is always ready to gather us to himself and remind us that we are loved, special, and have a personal invitation crafted and shaped just for us, to join with him in spreading the good news. Our challenge this Lent, and indeed each and every other day, is to find the places where people are in need of Jesus. We may do this ourselves or through our giving support to others who are more able to be effective in those places. Both of these expressions, of our faith in Jesus and our love of neighbour, are equally valid. As John Wesley puts it, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." To paraphrase, let us this Lent strive to be effective where we can be effective, and support others where they can be more effective, to the glory of God. I've chosen as our hymn today, Singing the Faith, number 662. Have you heard God's voice? Has your heart been stirred?
Oh, you heard God's voice, has your heart instead? Are you still prepared to follow? Have you made a choice to remain and serve? Though the way be rough and narrow, will you walk the path that will cost you much? And embrace the pain and sorrow? Will you trust in what will entrust to you the disciples of tomorrow? Will you use your voice when you knock sit down? When the multitudes are silent, will you make a choice to stand your ground? When the crowds are turning violent, will you walk the path that will cost too much and embrace the pain and sorrow? Will you trust in one who entrusts to you the disciples of tomorrow? In your city streets, will you be God's heart? Will you listen to the voices? Will you stop and eat, and when friendships start, will you share your faith with the faithless? Will you walk a path that will cost you much and embrace the pain and sorrow? Will you trust in one who entrusts to you the disciples of tomorrow? Will you watch the news with the eyes of faith and believe it could be different? Will you share your views using words of grace? Will you leave a thoughtful imprint? We will walk the path that will cost us much and embrace the pain and sorrow. We will trust in one who entrusts to us the disciples of tomorrow.
We come now to our prayers. Each day I will pick a sentence from the Bible passage which we can use for contemplative prayer. We think of the words in order to understand their context and meaning, feeling the meaning of the words with and in your heart. We pray using these words for ourselves or for others, with only a name, and without explaining the reasons or predefining any answers. We listen for God's voice in the quiet of our prayers. I'm here inviting outsiders, not insiders, an invitation to a changed life. Changed inside and out. Lord, as John Wesley called to us, as he spoke your word, may we be enthusiastic and passionate to do as he proclaims. May I do all the good I can, by all the means I can, in all the ways I can, in all the places I can, at all the times I can, to all the people I can, as long as ever I can. Lord, point out to me the places I should go, the people I should meet, the opportunities I so often miss to speak of your good news to those I talk with. Give me the courage to be a source of invitation to those who do not know you as their Saviour. Help me to be a catalyst in the lives of those around me, that your love may work in their lives. Help me to be a part of that great work of salvation, as you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, change lives inside and out. Amen.